Okay, I just want to take a break here and ask a question to all of you listening to this podcast. Have you actually ever thought about starting a podcast yourself? A year ago, roughly, December of 2017, when we decided to start our own podcast and Tatooine Sons became a real thing, we had lots of questions, like how do we record an episode? How do we get our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places people listen to podcasts? And then how do we make money from it? And the answer to every one of these questions that we found over the last year is really simple. It's Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can actually match you with some great sponsors too, so you can actually get paid to podcast. And that's one of the things we love. We're getting sponsors reaching out to us about about sponsoring our Tatooine Sons podcast has been awesome, but also the ease to getting this out there to all of the other platforms. And so if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 57 of Tatooine Sons. If there's any planet in Star Wars that we are partial to, it would have to be a certain desert planet with Tusken Raiders, Jawas, and wretched hives of scum and villainy. But so far, we haven't seen this planet in the Disney era. Could that be changing in episode 9? We'll discuss this along with our recap of Star Wars Resistance, Bibbo, and our hot takes on Star Wars news from the past week. If there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody was lit.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from a unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Choo-choo Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't know what or where Tatooine is.
I know, but we're going to fix that on this episode.
Yes,
and, fix it. I mean, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, you probably will be when we're done today.
If that's you're not a Star Wars fan, that's okay.
I know, but I'm saying that right now. I'm like all in on this episode. I think this one right here is going to change the Star Wars world. Okay, maybe that's not exactly...
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
Okay, thank you, Han. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a Saturday morning. We didn't get a chance to record early this week. So this is going to be going out to our Patreon supporters as soon as I can get it uploaded. Thank you guys so much for your amazing support and your patience. It's been a crazy week. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty good.
You okay over there, Sam? You look like you just woke up.
Yeah, and I've got phlegm in my throat. So
he's got phlegm. He's been working hard today. The Chick-fil-A opening took place. How'd that go?
It was pretty good. Yeah, I wasn't as busy as I thought it'd be for, you know, grand opening of Chick-fil-A, but I feel like it's going to start ramping up. I think today is going to be crazy.
Yeah, but you don't have to work today.
No, I don't. That's awesome. Fortunately.
So, you know, it's 15 degrees and snow and 30 mile per hour winds. That'll keep people from going to Chick-fil-A.
Most of the time.
So, let's see. Tell them about what happened Tuesday night through Wednesday at Chick-fil-A with the award that they were going to do to the first 100 people.
Oh, yeah. So apparently...
Not that we're sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
No. I mean,
we'd love for you guys to sponsor us if you want to, Chick-fil-A. I mean, we love your chicken. We call it Jesus food. But...
We eat it every Saturday morning.
We have every Saturday morning for over a decade.
I eat it almost every day.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone and gotten Chick-fil-A for breakfast. But anyway, so, I mean, we'll take your sponsorship money. We'll gladly spend your Jesus money. But anyway.
Yeah. So apparently there's this big... deal, which I just learned about, with new opening Chick-fil-A's, where the day before they open, 6 a.m. that morning, a bunch of people get to the Chick-fil-A early that morning, and they're all put in a raffle, and then 100 names are called out, and those 100 names, those people will camp out in the parking lot from 6 a.m. on a Tuesday, for this,
in this
Tuesday
week, it was
morning,
Tuesday, yeah,
till Wednesday morning opening day. So a full 24 hours, they have to camp outside on a parking lot. And if they stay the whole time, they get a year of free Chick-fil-A. But it's 52 number one meals. 52 free number one meals.
So like a number one a week.
Yeah, number one a week. Week, yeah. It was a huge deal. I mean, I was training.
This is madness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't get it. It was freezing. When I was out there for an hour and a half for training that Tuesday evening, and those people have to be there all night, and I don't understand how that's worth it.
Yeah, that's insane. And then it's been busy on my end this week because something unexpected happened to me at work, and we had something unexpected happen a few months ago at work, which was not good, where I was let go from the place I was working at in California. And that's what, for those of you that have been listening to this podcast for months now, you know that precipitated us moving back to Colorado, and we're now at Colorado. So I went back to work at the company that I was working at in Colorado before we left for California. It's a company called Home Advisor. You may have seen the commercials on TV. I was in sales for them, and this past week, but the week before that, they sent out a notice that they were hiring an inside sales trainer, which is something that I've always wanted to do for the organization. I feel like I've actually, when I was there before, I wasn't officially in that role, but I did a lot of that for the organization already. Then when I saw the email, it said that, you know, I didn't qualify necessarily based on my recent amount of time I'd been at Home Advisor. So I emailed them and I explained, you know, I did have that experience before, and asked if I could put in my resume. Tried to make a long story short. I interviewed for it on Tuesday, and then right after lunch, they announced to me that they asked me to come in, and they announced that I've got the position, which is awesome. I'm very excited about that. So, that has just thrown this last week into a little bit of chaos with everything going on there. And then next week's going to be in chaos again, because I'm going to be out of town all week, because I had to go to my own training so I can learn how to do.
I know. Training. I saw the irony there, like, instantly.
That's not how the Force works.
Yeah, well, it is in this case. Okay. So anyway, yeah, that's awesome. So we've been doing that. Let's see. It snowed a lot this last couple of days. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Didn't get any snow in California, although they're getting a ton of rain right now. Did you guys hear about this?
No. Yeah.
Like, it's been flooding and all this kind of stuff down in where we are. So it's been raining a lot, which is cool. Let's see what's going on. I guess other things. I guess YouTube. We've got our Star Wars Resistance episode, our Star Wars Rebels. That's Star Wars Rebels Revisited, episode 3, the one with Kanan. I did it again. Callus, Agent Callus, and Zeb, and the moment where in episode 3 in Droids of Distress, which I think is interesting because the episode makes you think it's all about C-3PO and R2-D2. What's this episode all about, Sam?
Oh, totally. Callus and Zeb.
Yeah, I mean, what is he in? What's the interaction between them? What do we find out about Callus, BB-8?
Well, Callus kind of is destroyed the Lasats, Zeb's species, so that's where it just all starts with the fight between them, those two.
Yeah, so it's a podcast, obviously. It's also a YouTube show. And if you're subscribed to our podcast feed, then you're getting that every Thursday morning. But we'd love for you guys to check it out on YouTube as well. Even if you're only, if you're listening to the podcast on the feed, if you can just pop on over really quick to YouTube and look us look up our channel there and watch, you know, 30, 45 seconds, a minute of that, and then like it and subscribe. It's going to help others find it. It would just mean a lot to us. We'd appreciate it. It's a fun storyline right now, especially this Callus and Zeb storyline, because by the end we talk about in this episode that we just put out last Thursday, they, I mean, the bromance is real at the end of season four, but in this one they absolutely literally hate each other, and for good reason. And so you know, it's an interesting storyline that we talk about on that. So yeah, I guess that's pretty much everything. We didn't get any new reviews this week, which is fine. At least I've stopped subscribing to the feed that you like. You have to pay for that'll search every iTunes site across the world, like every country site, and look for reviews. So if you're reviewing us from outside of the U.S., I'm not able to see it anymore, and I apologize. But if you could maybe take a screenshot of that and send it to us on Twitter, at Tatooine Sons, we will promise to read it there on this show. We want to know about it. But, yeah, so I haven't seen any new reviews come in. We did get a new Patreon supporter. I want to take a second to thank Rick Villanueva. I think that's the way you pronounce your name, Rick. I'm going to look it up right now because you're all over our Twitter feed. And the reason that you're all over the Twitter feed is because you are a knight of the old the Commonwealth, and so you've been supporting all the Commonwealth shows for a long, long time. But Rick, yeah, we appreciate you so much. Wow, some of the things that you guys are sharing on our feed right now is scaring me. I'm looking at our Commonwealth Knights of the Commonwealth private chat on Twitter, and the gifts that are rolling on there right now are disturbing. Okay. Rick Villanueva, yeah, Rick from Twitter. He's a Cad Bane's Bounty is his Twitter handle, which is awesome. He came on at the $5 a month level this week and helped us.
So he's a Knight of the Commonwealth, and
he's a Jedi Knight. So,
wow,
yeah, pretty awesome.
What do you mean was
yeah, it's like Boba Fett heads superimposed over other people's bodies in gift form, and it's really disturbing. Okay, but anyway, you don't get to know about that because I don't even want to know about that after seeing it. So, what just happened? Are you brainless? Yes. Yes, I am, Qui-Gon. Thank you for asking. I hit the wrong button. Okay. Why don't we just, like, move to the next section and talk about our podcast poll of the week?
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What? No!
All right, so last week we talked about if you were stranded on a deserted planet and you could only take one thing from one book, one movie, one soundtrack from each era of Star Wars movies and films and sagas, what would we take? So we talked about that. So go back and check out episode 56. I think it was a fun podcast.
It was.
For us to talk about some of those things. So we asked the question on Twitter, and like a half a dozen of you guys voted. No, like 150 votes, 149 votes. Thank you guys so much. We'd love to see more activity than that. So if you vote on our polls, make sure you share it as well on Twitter. It'll help others find it, and I think that they'll vote in it. But last week's was, if you could only take one piece of Star Wars media with you to a deserted island or planet in this case, which would you choose? And we listed film, book, soundtrack, or other. And obviously, out of that 150 votes, the vast majority of you chose what we would expect, because Star Wars is first and foremost
a movie.
A movie. And so 58% of you chose film. 21% of you chose books. And the vast majority of you that chose books commented and said, because you don't have a TV. Or power.
They're overthinking it.
I know. They were overthinking it. So book, soundtrack was 17%. And then a few of you marked other. And we've got a couple of those comments on that. Let's say, I think, Sam, you're first.
Yeah. So this one is from Max
Palas, P-A-L-A-S, and that's his Twitter handle as
thank
well.
Thank you very much, making life easy for us. Thank you.
And he said, the entire Soul run crammed into a cardboard box, and he's referring to the latest Darth Vader comic series, correct?
Yes, sir.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Which, the comic series is impressive.
It's amazing. I'm rereading, like, the last... like from issue 16 on, like for
the digital versions.
Yeah, the digital ones.
You have them on your phone or whatever. Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I'm rereading those right now. So good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm rereading the first 12.
Okay, so you guys will switch it up later and do it all out of order.
I guess so.
Okay, probably. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Charles Soule comic, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, is an amazing series. Yeah. So I totally understand where that's coming from. Who's next?
So Steven N. Santa, and the Twitter handle is Steven N. Santa.
Thank you very much for making life easy.
And he said, would need Clone Wars.
Wouldn't?
Would.
Would. Oh, would.
Would. Would. Like.
Would need Clone Wars. So he wants entire, and you talked about, didn't you mention this as a possibility?
Yeah, I thought that, on the question, it was one series.
They asked that later on in the conversation. Yeah.
But you said it was only one season.
Right, so he took the whole Clone Wars.
If it were one series, obviously I'd pick Clone Wars because there's a lot of...
I would do the whole series of Resistance because season 2 has been confirmed, so I'd get the second season early if it had to evacuate now.
So if we're evacuating now, we get it early, even though they probably... Well, they actually, from what I understand from our conversations with Steven Stanton and then what they've said like at the panels and stuff before... at Celebration, they actually record the audio stuff for this. Like they're way advanced on these.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're animated or edited.
Well, they're probably working on it, I think, already. Don't you think? Okay. Yeah. Anyway. And then we've got Janine Miller. And of course, Janine had to get to complicate it a little bit, but with her, hers is Jotem.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely fine. No judgment here, but thanks a lot. All right. No, I'm just kidding, Janine. At Jotem27007.
Okay.
I like this one just because our theme of the month is
hope.
Hope, and she said, "I take hope with me." I think it's great. Yeah, of course, if you're stranded on a deserted island, you would need some kind of hope that you might get off. So,
Star Wars or the Vader series, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Either one that would be good.
So. Which one though?
Yeah.
The new Age of Republic series is coming out.
What are you talking about? Oh, the new Vader comic series that's coming.
When's that taking place?
Now, I don't think I've talked about this on our podcast. I talked about it on Twitter, and there's a couple of days where this was a thread that was going on. This was a few months ago when they first announced the new Darth Vader series. Remember they released that photo or that the cover art?
Oh yeah,
with him on the horse with the shield with the galactic Empire symbol on it,
freaking awesome,
and stuff like in his lightsaber and stuff. And then when I saw that, the question that I had in my mind was, have we seen horses in canon Star Wars before? And I'm like, okay, now you've got the father, and everybody on the Twitter threads was like, oh yeah, we saw the Fathiers in the Last Jedi, and I totally get that, but I'm actually literally talking horses in Star Wars. And can you recall any other time that we've officially in the canon since 2012 Star Wars era have we've seen horses in Star Wars?
Not really.
No,
because Fathiers were like furry, like dog horse things. They were not a horse.
Like really. If a llama and a dog had a baby.
Okay. That's impressive.
A little weird.
Every word in that sense was wrong.
Disturbing. Okay.
So anyway, but here's then it hit me. I had seen horses in the modern Star Wars canon, but it hasn't shown up officially yet. Because it was in, hold on. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
All right, for the next 45 seconds to a minute. One of the first leaks of photos from episode 9 were of Finn and Poe on this grassy, like kind of, remember we discussed it looked like kind of like Naboo?
Yeah.
And there were horses.
Horses.
In that.
Okay.
And so now I'm wondering if the storyline from this new Darth Vader comic somehow connects with that, because that's the only time we've seen horses. I know it's a stretch, but I'm wondering on it.
Okay, well, great and all. I remembered this. They're coming out with another Vader series.
A different one?
Different one.
A third one?
Yes.
No way.
Age of Republic. You know how they've been doing the Age of No, it's Age of Rebellion is what it is. They've been doing the Age of the Republic right now.
Right, right.
With Qui-Gon,
Obi-Wan. So they're coming out with a version of that in...
They're coming out with the Age of Rebellion, then they're going to come out with Age of Resistance. So they're going by... it's going to be Princess Leia, Darth Vader, and a Grand Moff Tarkin series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Those are the three confirmed right now.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. Well, cool. All right. You guys ready to move on?
Star Wars Resistance is back, and in this episode, Niku finds a pet that brings big problems to the Colossus.
Really big.
Can Kaz and the Aces save the day? We'll talk about it all on our Resistance recap.
We have a mission for you.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
How do we blow it up? There's always a way to do that.
Droid, please.
Light it up.
All right, I think I'm going to have to make take the effort when I'm stuck in the hotel by myself next week in the evenings to do a new bumper that actually has some resistance content to it.
Yeah.
But when we started this, we didn't have resistance content. We started this segment because they hadn't released anything yet.
That's true.
All right, so anyway, sorry about that.
Yeah, so... I'll just go ahead and read the synopsis for the episode.
Yeah, tell us what that episode was about. Now, if you haven't seen this show yet, then you know you're missing out. So we're just gonna go ahead and keep talking about it. And
should we just like give our spoiler free review?
No, we're gonna give our full spoiler on review.
Let's go. We don't care. Yep. So while pulling up wreckage from the ocean, Kaz, Sonara, and Niku pull up a little sea creature with it. Along with it, excuse me. He's smelly and disgusting, and Niku absolutely loves him. He takes the creature on as his pet, names him Bebo, and they go back to the shop.
Sorry.
Okay.
What was that?
I don't know. It just sounded like it worked. Okay.
There the creature annoys...
I'm just going to try to throw you off the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Where was I? There the creature annoys and eats just about everything in sight, including poor Bucket. And finally, when Yeager has had enough, he orders Niku to get rid of the new pet. To the surprise of everyone, Niku also leaves in protest, citing he's asked Yeager for nothing and in return just wanted a friend. Tam goes after Niku, and together they go all over the station looking for Bebo, who ran away.
Bebo!
When their search brings them to the engineers down below, Tam gets to meet the children from Tahar, Tel and Ela. Ela expresses fear and... expresses fear that danger is indeed coming through a premonition she had, and that Bebo is the reason. Turns out she was right, and what she feared would happen came in the form of Bebo's mother, who happens to be twice the size of the entire station. While the mother does come looking for her child, Captain scrambles the Aces to fend off the giant beast, who is laying down heavy damage to the platform. To warn the entire station, who is a little numb at first, Kaz gets the idea to set off the pirate alarm, something Sonara takes note of.
Yeah.
At first, they think the
giant... You didn't know that already.
Yeah, the giant beast is there looking for food, but when they realize her true intentions, Niku sadly hands over Bebo, and the worst is over.
Aww.
What do you think? Sorry about that was not a very good reading.
Do you want to try it all over again for everybody?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I don't want
I've got food. Like a stuffy nose.
Yeah, you got a stuffy nose. You got stuffy nose. So anyway.
Yeah, so what did you guys like about the episode? What was hot?
The whole episode was great.
Really? You liked it a lot?
I liked it. But yeah. I felt
what was your favorite part?
The cute little creature.
The cute little creature. Was cool.
It sounds like you should say it that way. So, anyway.
I'm not trying that.
Yeah, a 13-year-old going through a voice change can't control the falsetto as well.
Come on, Nate. Do it. Do it for everyone.
Come on, do it.
There we go.
No, I loved it. I thought that the two things happened in this episode that I really liked. One, you got a reintroduction to the children from Tahar, and you see that which one is it? What's that?
Ela.
She got some force power. She got some force power. She knows. She can sense stuff. She's having premonitions.
I don't think she knows that she has force.
I don't either, but it makes me wonder what's going on that caused Kylo Ren to wipe out her entire village and try to hunt him.
Finishing what Darth Vader started.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll see on that one. And then I loved the fact that we saw Kaz sort of stop worrying about whether or not the Aces were going to, you know, be concerned with him jumping in the fireball, or you know, the Captain Doza saying, "You're not one of the Aces, get back here." He just did what he had to do, and that's sort of what I wanted to start seeing from Cass. So I really enjoyed this episode.
He started taking stuff into his own hands. I mean, he got the idea to set off the fire alarm. Yeah. He went out in the fireball. Like, he wasn't asking for permission on any of it. He just did it.
So the bumbling Jar Jar Binks version of Cass really wasn't present in this episode.
Yeah, no, it was pretty nice,
that.
Actually.
Did what? I mean, what were some specific things that you liked other than Bebo, BB Nate? Bebo Nate.
Wasn't too much that was like stood out to me. I just thought that the whole episode was just very well put together, and they did a good job, like all the other episodes. So,
cool.
Yeah. And what did you not like about the episode name? When Niku had a hand. I'm not trying that again.
Bebo
away. Yeah. That was...
Yeah.
Bebo.
I'll do it for you. There you go.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah, that was sad. You know,
it was kind of sad.
That relationship.
He just wanted a friend.
Yeah. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just it sort of like reminded me of me a little bit when Bebo started eating up everything in the shop and Yeager was like, "Get this thing out of here." You know, it's like the dad, you know, "I'm sick and tired of this dang dog Bebo thing." You know, it's like me and the dog, you know, so yeah. Like, "Get that dog out of here." You know,
no wonder you take
it was
such
like
a life
it was like Yeager. A dad moment for Yeager. And I kind of related to it too much. A little bit
uncomfortable. Yeah, I get what you mean. Oh,
what about you?
Something I didn't like. I mean, it's not like I didn't like something in the episode. I just don't like Sonara. She's...
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, her... not that I don't like the character. It's just... It's annoying. Like, she's a bad guy. And I just...
Yeah.
It's annoying.
And nobody seems to know that.
Right.
Pick up on it.
Yeah. I know. It'll come out soon. I have
she
a feeling...
was holding a hologram... talking to the pirate.
But they didn't
as
really
Kaz
see her. Yeah, he didn't really, yeah. Didn't
really I have a feeling, though, she's going to become a good guy.
Yeah, then. I think so,
but
too.
She was but speaking at full volume, like, not, like, yelling, just speaking at normal tone. Yeah. Somebody should have heard her, at least.
Well, anyway, so.
What about Kaz trying to help Niku at the end?
With the glorb.
He gave him the...
Glorb, and then he just... It's for a new friend.
And he ate it?
And he named it and everything, and he just
he was trying to do it for, like, a pet, and then he ate it.
Well, right. I don't know why.
Well, it's funny, because the guys that keep the parts shop that are in the next episode, I can't remember what their names are.
Let's see. Flicks and Orca.
Yeah. They actually have one of those as a pet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's actually, it's going to play into the next episode, interestingly. So we'll see that in the clip in a minute.
But the funny thing is we'll the first episode, Niku's taking Kaz around the Colossus and says, "Those glorbs are delicacies,
yeah.
And they taste really good." I don't know why Kaz didn't
I know,
pick
I was
up.
I
like,
wasn't surprised by it eating it. I figured he would. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, okay.
So, what do you think is going to happen next with us? I think we had an idea, though. We all kind of picked up on this when we were first watching the episode in regards to Bebo's mom.
Yeah, no, see, I'm not sure that it's... I mean, it's not going to happen next, but it's going to happen eventually. It's going to be like a Purgle-esque from Rebels type moment.
And Bebo's going to come back and...
Bebo, maybe more grown, and the Kraken, Space Kraken mama thing is going to come and try to... And they're going to help the Colossus and the Aces and everybody... Later on, when there's a battle between them and the First Order.
Yeah, because this episode had to have some importance to it, to the other story.
Right.
Kind of like the Purgles episode.
Exactly.
What did
the
this
Purgles
have to do with
like, okay, that was weird. You know, when you watch the Purgles episode, and then you get to the final episode. If you haven't seen Rebels, sorry. We're spoiling it for you. I'm just going to go. The final episode of Star Wars Rebels, the Purgles come in and save the day. And so I think it's going to be the similar type of thing.
And then you'll see... Kind of
I'm gonna use that phrase from this point forward.
A moment with Niku and Bebo saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Again.
Exactly.
Get real emotional, start crying.
I also think that the vision or the premonition ability that Ela, is that her name?
Ela
has in this is going to start playing itself out later in this season, that she's going to start being able to predict things that are happening and through the Force. And they don't bring that into this episode for a Space Kraken.
Right, yeah, there's...
And then leave it there. More. You have to have that continuing on, so
yeah,
I'm excited
about
that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Cool. So why don't we play the clip?
Well, why don't you read the teaser, at least the topic.
It's been a few weeks since we've done this.
Yeah, I know, it's okay. So
Yeah, so the episode title is Dangerous Business, and the little teaser synopsis goes, in exchange for parts, Kaz mines acquisitions for Flix and Orca and comes into conflict with a shady alien customer in league with the First Order.
There you are, Kaz. Hey, thanks for covering the store for us, buddy, pal, old friend. We owe you.
Actually, we don't. We gave him the parts. Technically, he owes us.
So, where are you guys going that you need me to run the store?
Oh, it's a long story with a tragic ending. We're visiting my mother. Now, minding the store is simple, so pay attention.
Take their order, take their money.
Customer's always right, take their money.
When in doubt, take their money.
And concerning our pet Gorg Bitey, if he gets hungry, feed him. Just don't wiggle your fingers at him, he'll think they're food.
Important! Do not sell anything from the back room. No way, no how, don't do it.
It is either a weapon or dangerously destructive or both, probably both. So don't touch anything unless you plan on getting yourself vaporized.
But don't even look back there.
No problem. I can handle this. Easy as Valerian pie.
Thanks again for this, Kazzy. We'll be back tonight.
Just so you know that the Gorg bites Kaz at the end.
That's yeah, and that sounded very weird, not seeing the clip ever before and with no context.
All right, so anyway, well, that's the thing about these clips, that you don't really have any context when you see them ahead of time, and sometimes they absolutely have nothing to do with the actual storyline of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this one does, though, don't you guys?
Oh, yes. I think it's a setup.
Yeah, it's totally setting up what that episode's going to be about. And he's totally going to go in the back room and sell something, probably.
Well, or at least somebody from the First Order is going to come. A customer is going to come trying to get something from the back room.
Yeah.
And it's going to, like, you know, the customer's always right. Take their money. So he's thinking, this guy wants to buy one of these things. I'm supposed to be, you know, the customer's always right. And I'm trying to get his money. So he's going to go. And then somehow they're going to figure out he's First Order. And
I feel like it's going to be a good episode.
I hope so. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to the next few episodes of this. I think it's going to really ramp up. So very, very cool. All right, let's move on to the next segment. Could Richard E. Grant's character in episode 9 be someone we're familiar with? And there are some hilarious titles for episode 9 being shared online. That should be fun. And Finn has blood on his hands. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so comicbook.com is reporting Star Wars.
Great quality podcast.
I've got it right here on my paper. Nathan has his paper too, but he doesn't have the same paper because this is hot takes and you guys don't even know what we're talking about.
Nope.
All right. Just so you know, the hot take segment, I pick all these topics and I create the question or the discussion around it. And the boys have no idea what we're going to talk about on that. And so we're getting their first initial hot take. See, that's
I see where you're going.
So that's the way.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Darth Vader likes this episode. He's been really impressed.
Okay, side note. Yeah. Did you see that Galaxy of Adventures where...
No, I haven't seen any of that yet. I've been trying to get a promotion at work all week.
It's so good, though.
I know. I got to watch it.
But you got the promotion.
I know. Now I got to start doing the job. All right. comicbook.com. Headline. Star Wars Episode 9 star. Richard E. Grant hasn't told his family his character's name.
Who's Richard E. Grant again?
He's the guy that...
looks like British. He's British.
He was in Downton Abbey...
For
a couple episodes, and he
was a jerk.
He was the one that he recorded the Twitter video about when he went in and interviewed and got the job, and he's all laughing and giddy and stuff like that. You would recognize him. We'll look it up later. No, he's just a British guy. Okay, all right. So this is what he says. Okay, he says, "Yes, I am in." He was being interviewed about some different things, and they asked him about being in Episode 9, and he says, "Yes, I'm in the last Star Wars. I have no idea if I'll be recognizable because I've not even been allowed to tell my family what my name of my character is." Grant shared with the Graham Norton Show, which is a podcast. You know, Hey, by the way, Richard, if you want to come on our podcast, you're welcome. All right.
Yeah.
Like if I told you I would get fired, we're not even allowed to take the script home. There's a lot of security. Now, that last part isn't anything we didn't already know.
Right.
But the fact that he's saying he hasn't even been allowed to tell anybody the name of his character, we don't know the name of his character, has got people speculating that maybe it's a character that we've heard of before. So I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. Do you think Richard Grant, and you can't do it, baby, it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. It'll be cool either way. You got to give me an answer, okay?
Right? You just summed up every answer he ever
gave. Right, like for the last year, I've heard him answer almost every question that way. So you got to actually take a stand on this one. Yes or no, and why? Do you think that Richard E. Grant is playing a character that we've heard of before? Go.
I don't know, maybe. I feel like since they won't allow him to even tell his family the name, that type of stuff, I feel like we do know who he is, and we've heard about him before, and I think he's a very pivotal character in the whole series, but I just don't know, I mean, why his family? Like, because everybody...
Because if his family starts sharing with a buddy down the street at the pub, you know, oh, yeah, he's playing this guy. I don't know. I've never heard of him. He's called Thrawn. Or, you know, something like that, and all of a sudden somebody in their pub goes, wait, did he just say Thrawn? Next thing you know, it's all over the news, and we're talking about it on next week's episode. So, you know, that's why he wouldn't be able to say it. So
should have done that in a British accent.
I can't do British accents when I'm tired. So you think he is going to be somebody that we've heard of before. What about you, Samuel Hutt?
If I knew what he looked like, I could probably take a guess.
Gosh. All right, so...
he was a jerk in Downton Abbey?
Yeah, that doesn't help me. I barely remember anyone from that show.
Yeah, he's seeing the picture right now just to narrate that sigh.
He would look like an old Thrawn.
I know!
But you have to be blue. He's not blue.
They can blue him up, man. Blue. They can blue him up.
Blow him up. They're gonna blow him up.
Well, I don't want to blow him up, but maybe.
Hey, was Laura Dern able to discuss her character name?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because well, everybody in Solo, if they were strict, name.
Well, that's except for Beckett. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think
Woody Harrelson
didn't say who his name was, but he said he was a mentor to Han, and everybody started projecting on him the name of the character from Legends that was a mentor to Han. So he had to come out and say his name was Tobias Beckett. But
And
then there was all the speculation because of Dryden Voss that it might be somehow connected to Quinlan Voss, which it wasn't. But
right,
that was a good book though.
Which is weird, because if you think about it, they like do the common last name thing in Star Wars.
They do. Because
you have Captain Antilles, that was the Tantive IV captain.
Right.
And then you have Wedge Antilles. Excuse me there. My pop filter just fell down onto my computer in the middle of our conversation.
Did it click a sound effect?
I probably clicked, yeah. If you heard that, then that's what that was. So, all right. So anyway, so you've got Captain Antilles and you have Wedge Antilles.
Wait,
and they're not related.
Related?
They're not related at all. Yeah, they've like confirmed they're not related. So anyway.
I always thought they were related.
So anyway, back to Richard Grant Foster. Richard Grant, that's it. Richard Grant. Do you think he's a character we know of?
I don't know. Maybe I'd be, no.
Oh, that's Nathan, yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough to say because, I mean, Laura Dern, if she was not able to discuss her character...
Then it wouldn't make any difference because nobody had heard of Holdo before.
Right.
Right.
I would like him to be a character we know of. I'm sure.
Okay, so let's speculate on that because, and I'll add some context to this. You okay over there, BB Nate? You gonna knock your mic down too?
I'm just not comfortable.
Yeah, we're having a tough time.
Right, yeah, I know it's a weird episode. Anyway, okay, so he's discussed previously his audition, okay, and his audition was where he was reading an interrogation scene, sort of like a Nazi Germany type scenario interrogation, where he was interrogating someone, is what I understand. And that was what he read. Now, he didn't know it was for Star Wars when he was reading this part. And then they immediately, you know, but he's reading it for JJ. And JJ's getting ready to do a movie, which, you know, I mean, JJ's doing several movies. He just got done doing the other, like, Nazi Germany alien
Overlord
monster movie.
Thing.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean.
Which made no sense. It looked like.
But anyway. So, you know, I mean, he's reading it. And then the next thing you know, JJ takes him into a room with Daisy Ridley. And there's more conversation. And so there's been a lot of speculation that he's like a Nazi officer or a First Order, a Nazi, a First Order, same thing, a First Order officer. right? And he's interrogating Rey at some point in this. So that's sort of the context around this character that we know so far. So based on that, who could this character be?
You know, I was thinking a little bit more as if, you know, Thrawn. And one of Thrawn's, like, most recognizable, iconic parts to him, besides his blue face and red eyes, is his voice. Because who's the guy who did him in Rebels?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, you can't beat... He did the voice, like...
That was perfect.
It was amazing. Yeah. And this guy, I don't know if anyone can really, like... fix that, unless they have him come in and voice over the whole thing. But then why would they have him read an interrogation scene?
No, he's so, Richard Grant is not going to have somebody doing his own voice,
right?
Or dubbed in it with his voice.
I feel like he could just do his own rendition of the voice.
I don't think, like, if I could have heard the audition, that would help a lot. Obviously, though, they can't release that for 101.
Well, they did release sort of, you know, Daisy Ridley's later.
Yeah, they did.
Her original audition and Finn and stuff like that.
After the movie. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you, do you think he could be Thrawn? Or, I think that there's been, like, other reports stating where he said he wasn't Thrawn. So, you know,
I think he's...
I think they could be lying about all of it, because they're just trying to hide everything right now. But
I think he's for sure a bad guy.
He's Turbis.
He's
not a bad guy, but...
Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Okay, continue, please.
I think he's definitely a bad guy. I just feel like he plays a good bad guy vibe or whatever. As to a character we've seen before, it's becoming less and less a possibility. Okay. I just think they're going to do an original character. I feel like he's going to have a Tarkin-esque vibe to it. Just in the First Order, which I wouldn't mind. Tarkin's cool. I don't think he's going to be a character we've seen before.
Let's just be clear. You're not saying he's Tarkin. We know that. You're just saying that's that style of a character.
Right, exactly.
Okay. What about you, BB Nate?
Didn't I already answer?
No. Oh, if he was going to be a character that we've heard of before, do you think it has to be Thrawn, or do you think it would be somebody else?
Oh, I think it could be... I mean, I would like it to be Thrawn, but I think that they could... I think that they should do another character... I feel like people are so attached with the Thrawn that we have in Rebels, like Sammy said, the voice and that type of stuff. Nobody can do that. So everybody is attached with that who knows Thrawn, at least. So I feel like they just should go with an original character, or maybe another character that we've heard of and is somebody pivotal. That's the only person we can think of.
Although we don't know if this guy, like, if he can do a Thrawn voice, though. Like, no, he may be able to do a great Thrawn voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Okay. Next topic, hot take. Inverse.com. We're going to come back to them in a minute, too, because they just put out another article we're going to talk about later. Inverse.com. If the Star Wars 9 title was in The Last Jedi, it's definitely one of these.
You talked about this a little bit last week.
Well, okay. So they're saying specifically that Luke, his name is Mark Hamill, by the way. Mark Hamill has said that the title to Episode 9 is buried in the dialogue of The Last Jedi.
That narrows it down.
Which is like 2.5 hours, longest Star Wars movie ever. Okay. So people have been going through The Last Jedi and trying to come up with some names. You guys ready for these?
Sure.
All right. Star Wars The Rebellion Reborn. Now that was actually a serious
one. That one's actually pretty good.
People have thought that's actually a really decent one. Okay. They go downhill from here.
All right. I would hope.
Okay.
I only want the best.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You and me both, hon. Okay, Filthy Junk Traders. Star Wars, Filthy Junk Traders.
Please tell me one of these is Star Wars Blippity Bop.
The next one on the list is Star Wars Episode 9, Blip Bloppity Bloop.
Yes. All right.
You got to pick out which one you like the best. This is not going to go the way you think. Right, so we can... Hold on, do I have that? I deleted that.
Dad, do the voice. Dad, do it. The sound effect.
Which one?
You say it.
I don't say this is not going to go the way you think. I don't do that one.
Do it. Well, you should just try.
I am not Mark Hamill. I'm
sorry. I know you're not.
All right, here's the last one. Doing talking.
Doing talking.
She's not, you know, Rose saying she's not good at doing talking.
Oh.
Yeah. Where'd the crystal critters go?
Oh, I like that one.
You know, Star Wars Episode 9. Where did the crystal critters go?
Okay.
How about okay, I'll hold? You know, at the beginning?
Yeah,
the beginning?
I know what you're talking about.
I'll hold. All right. And Star Wars Episode 9, more! You know,
Yeah, I know.
Come on, you guys are like not helping here. Okay, these are good. How about Star Wars Episode 9? Earth-shattering silence after Admiral Holdo drives on the First Order's face. That one I like. Star Wars Episode 9, The Sacred Texts.
That was a somewhat serious one.
Okay. Star Wars Episode 9, General Hugs. Yeah, that was
good.
Star Wars Episode 9, Permission to Jump in a Ship and Blow Something Up.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Star Wars Episode 9, You're Demoted. How about this one? This one, I thought this was kind of funny. Star Wars Episode 9, You Can't Park That Shuttle Here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Could they get all the parking tickets?
Right. Star Wars Episode 9, Milk Chugging Noises. And suddenly there's fanboys all over the Twitter being triggered.
I know, our view rate just like our plummeted. Rate, yeah.
Star Wars Episode 9, Benicio Del Toro mumbles something indecipherable. Star Wars Episode 9, take that ridiculous thing off. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that want Kylo to not have his mask on that are going to be yelling that in the audience. And then my favorite, and I can't believe I deleted our Turbis thing on accident.
You're fired.
I know. Yeah, Star Wars Episode 9, Pork Squawk.
Pork Squawk. Yeah,
okay, that's all right. That segment sucked. All right.
That was amazing. That was fun.
All right, the third hot take, GameSpot.com. Here, this one's good. You guys saw this one, so I'm just going to get your reactions now. John Boyega teases something visually crazy. So he went out on Twitter, I think it was Wednesday night, and he put this picture of his hands, one on top of each other. They're covered with dirt, there's a shadow in the background that's barely decipherable. And this is what the caption of this photo on Minstagram was. You guys remember seeing this?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Minstagram? That's if you want a minty fresh taste of Instagram. All right.
It's like Instagram.
It's a refreshing version. All right. Great working day on set. The whole team pushed themselves today to achieve something visually crazy. I've had many moments of shock on set, but not like today, and I can't wait until you know why. And then he hashtagged it, FN2187. What do you guys think about that visual and the photo and what he says about that? We'll start with you, Samuel. Come on.
There's some pretty visually crazy stuff in The Last Jedi.
That's true.
Although I would say the most visually crazy thing in The Last Jedi was the throne room scene, and Finn wasn't in that. But I have a feeling we're going to see a really awesome, really intense, crazy big battle scene at the end. And I think that that's what he's referring to, and I'm really pumped now.
Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know. There's so many different things that could go on, and this is just, I feel like he put this out just to kind of get people stirring and keeping the theories going. Maybe, like, Rey is, like, for some reason, like, in a bunch of dirt or something. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure it out. It's going to be more than you need. But did you guys notice, when you see it on a phone, on Instagram, you don't notice some of the details. But I saw this on my laptop. I had a bigger blown-up version of the picture. Mm-hmm. And did you guys notice there was blood on his hands?
Yes.
I just thought there was dirt.
No, there's blood on his bottom hand, there on the thumb. There's blood there. So, I mean, it's just interesting because when I first see blood on Finn's hands, I immediately go back to the very first moment we see Finn in Episode 7 with the guy with the blood on his hands touching his face.
His helmet.
His helmet, yeah, and smearing the blood on there. So it just feels like it's like tying into that same type of thing, especially when he says FN2187 as a hashtag.
Yeah.
All that. Why does he keep referencing to this? What do you guys think about the fact that Finn is going to be part of leading a revolt of some of these stormtroopers that were in the same scenario as him, snatched from their families, raised as part of the First Order? This is a major storyline in the sequel trilogy, in the novels, in Hux's background. His father was the one that was the one that led this program and that kind of thing. Do you think that Finn is going to lead a revolution of stormtroopers from the First Order? What do you guys think?
I would hope so. That would be really cool.
It goes back to exactly what Rose said in The Last Jedi, which everyone hates the line, but it makes
total sense. No, I don't hate the line. I think it's one of the best lines in Star Wars history.
So. This is how we win, not by killing what we hate, but by saving what we love. And he's trying to just help the stormtroopers. I saw this meme the other day on Facebook, and it had Rose and her saying the line, and then it had Luke saying screw that, and then he blows up the Death Star. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's not like he saved his father at the end because of his love for him. I mean, it's a prevalent theme throughout all of Star Wars. I would love to see Finn save the stormtroopers because he feels for them.
Yeah, and he knows to them. That's who he is.
He knows that there's a better life that they can be a part of.
So much
Although there's
chilling.
Gonna be a lot of Finns though.
Like you're saying, it's going through all the whole series. You see, Obi-Wan could have killed Anakin and he was ordered to by a Yoda, but he didn't out of love. He didn't kill what he hated. He saved what he loved.
Yeah. So bringing that theme into this, plus you guys recall from The Last Jedi the deleted scenes when they're on the Snoke's dreadnought or Snoke's ship, and they get stuck in the elevator with the other stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
And the stormtrooper's like FN-287, and he's like getting ready to shoot him. Like, remember?
Yeah, Finn was.
Yeah, Finn was. And he's like freaking out. They're gonna reveal who I am, and they know I've revolted and all this. And he's like, I never would have paid you for officer material. And they start laughing and joking a little bit and stuff like that.
It's and he smacks Finn on the butt.
On trying to insert in there that Finn is still, he knows people in the First Order. He's got friends in the First Order. And they're trying to show that that's a friend of his from the past.
I mean, the stormtrooper like smacks him on the butt like, attaboy or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I think that we're going to see that in there. I think that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would,
I know. Just, I don't know, 11 months to wait. But we get to get a trailer in just a few weeks.
And we get Celebration
In Celebration is what I mean.
Oh.
I'm almost certain we're getting the trailer at Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Could Richard E. Grant's character in Episode 9 be someone we're familiar with? And there are some hilarious titles for Episode 9 being shared online. That should be fun. And Finn has blood on his hands. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so comicbook.com is reporting Star Wars.
Great quality podcast.
I've got it right here on my paper. Nathan has his paper too, but he doesn't have the same paper because this is hot takes and you guys don't even know what we're talking about.
Nope.
All right, just so you know, the hot take segment, I pick all these topics and I create the question or the discussion around it, and the boys have no idea what we're going to talk about on that. And so we're getting there. First initial hot take. See, that's
that's the way
that goes. So that's the way.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Darth Vader likes this episode. He's been really impressed.
Okay, side note. Yeah. Did you see that Galaxy of Adventures where...
No, I haven't seen any of that yet. I've been trying to get a promotion at work all week.
It's so good, though.
I know, I gotta watch it.
But you got the promotion.
I know, and now I gotta start, doing the job. Anyway, all right, comicbook.com. Headline, Star Wars Episode 9 star. Richard E. Grant hasn't told his family his character's name.
Who's Richard E. Grant again?
He's the guy that...
looks like British. He's British.
He was in Downton Abbey
For
a couple episodes, and he
Was a jerk.
He was the one that he recorded the Twitter video about when he went in and interviewed and got the job, and he's all laughing and giddy and stuff like that. You would recognize him. We'll look it up later. No, he's just a British guy. Okay. All right. So this is what he says, okay? He says, yes, I am in... He was being interviewed about some different things, and they asked him about being in Episode 9. And he says, yes, I'm in the last Star Wars. I have no idea if I'll be recognizable because I've not even been allowed to tell my family what the name of my character is. Grant shared with the Graham Norton Show, which is a podcast. You know, hey, by the way, Richard, if you want to come on our podcast, you're welcome. All right.
Yeah. Like
if I told you, I would get fired. We're not even allowed to take the script home. There's a lot of security. Now, that last part isn't anything we didn't already know.
Right.
But the fact that he's saying he hasn't even been allowed to tell anybody the name of his character, we don't know the name of his character, has got people speculating that maybe it's a character that we've heard of before. So I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. Do you think Richard Grant, and you can't do it, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. It'll be cool either way. You got to give me an answer, okay?
Right? You just summed up every answer he ever gave.
Right. Like for the last year, I've heard him answer almost every question that way. So you got to actually take a stand on this one. Yes or no, and why? Do you think that Richard E. Grant is playing a character that we've heard of before? Go.
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like since they they won't allow him to even tell his family the name, that type of stuff. I feel like we do know who he is, and we've heard about him before, and I think he's a very pivotal character in the whole series, but I just don't know. I mean, why his family? Like, because everybody...
Because if his family starts sharing with a buddy down the street at the pub, you know, oh, yeah, he's playing this guy. I don't know. I've never heard of him. He's called Thrawn. Or, you know, something like that, that. And all of a sudden, somebody in their pub goes, wait, did he just say Thrawn? Next thing you know, it's all over the news, and we're talking about it on next week's episode. So, yeah. You know, that's why he wouldn't be able to say it. So
should have done that in a British accent.
I can't do British accents when I'm tired. So you think he is going to be somebody that we've heard of before. What about you, Samuel Hutt?
If I knew what he looked like, I could probably take it.
Gosh. All right, so...
he was a jerk in Downton Abbey?
Yeah, that doesn't help me. I barely remember anyone from that show.
Yeah, he's seeing the picture right now, just to narrate that sigh.
He would look like an old Thrawn.
I know!
But you have to be blue. He's not blue. They can
blue him up, man. Blue. They can blue him up.
Blow him up. They're gonna blow him up.
Well, I don't want to blow him up, but maybe.
Hey, was Laura Dern able to discuss her character name?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because well, everybody in Solo, if they were strict, their name.
Well, that's except for Beckett. He, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think
Woody Harrelson
didn't say who his name was, but he said he was a mentor to Han, and everybody started projecting on him the name of the character from Legends that was a mentor to Han. So he had to come out and say his name was Tobias Beckett. But
yeah, so
and then there was all the speculation because of Dryden Voss that it might be somehow connected to Quinlan Voss, which it wasn't. But
right,
that was a good book though.
Which is weird, because if you think about it, they like do the common last name thing in Star Wars.
They do. Because
you have Captain Antilles, that was the Tantive IV captain.
Right.
And then you have Wedge Antilles. Excuse me there. My pop filter just fell down onto my computer in the middle of our conversation.
Did it click a sound effect?
I probably clicked, yeah. If you heard that, then that's what that was. So, all right. So anyway, yeah. So you've got Captain Antilles and you have Wedge Antilles.
Wait,
and they're not related.
Related?
They're not related
really?
At all. Yeah, they've like confirmed they're not related. So anyway.
I always thought they were related.
So anyway, back to Richard Grant Foster. Richard Grant. That's it. Richard Grant. Do you think he's a character we know of?
I don't know. Maybe I'd be... No.
That's Nathan. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough to say because, I mean, was like Laura Dern, if she was not able to discuss her character,
then it wouldn't make any difference because nobody had heard of Holdo before.
Right,
right.
I would like him to be a character we know of. I'm sure.
Okay, so let's speculate on that because, and I'll give some, I'll add some context to this. You okay over there, BB-Nate? You gonna knock your mic down too?
Just not comfortable.
Yeah, we're having a tough time.
Right, yeah, I know it's a weird episode. Anyway, okay, so he's discussed previously his audition, okay, and his audition was where he was reading an interrogation scene, sort of like a Nazi Germany type scenario interrogation, where he was interrogating someone, is what I understand. And that was what he read. Now, he didn't know it was for Star Wars when he was reading this part. And then they immediately, you know, but he's reading it for JJ. And JJ's getting ready to do a movie, which, you know, I mean, JJ's doing several movies. He just got done doing the other, like, Nazi Germany alien monster movie.
So,
yeah. So, I mean.
Which made no sense. It looked like.
But anyway. So, you know, I mean, he's reading it. And then the next thing you know, JJ takes him into a room with Daisy Ridley. And there's more conversation. And so there's been a lot of speculation that he's like a Nazi officer or a First Order officer, right? And he's interrogating Rey at some point in this. So that's sort of the context around this character that we know so far. So based on that, who could this character be?
You know, I was thinking a little bit more as if, you know, Thrawn. And one of Thrawn's, like, most recognizable, iconic parts to him, besides his blue face and red eyes, is his voice. Because who's the guy who did him in Rebels?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, you can't beat... He did the voice, like...
That was perfect.
It was amazing. Yeah. And this guy... I don't know if anyone can really, like, fix that. Unless they have him come in and voice over the whole thing. But then why would they have him read an interrogation scene?
No, he's... So, Richard Grant is not going to have somebody doing his own voice.
Right.
Or dubbed in it with his voice.
I feel like he could just do his own rendition of the voice.
Like, if I could have heard the audition... That would help a lot. Obviously, though, they can't release that for 101.
Well, they did release sort of, you know, Daisy Ridley's later.
Yeah, they
did. Her original audition and Finn and stuff like that.
After the movie came out. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you think he could be Thrawn? Or, I think that there's been, like, other reports stating where he said he wasn't Thrawn. So... You know, I think they could be lying about all of it because they're just trying to hide everything right now. But
I think he's for sure a bad guy.
He's Turbis. He's not Turbis. A bad guy, but
hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
Okay, continue, please. Please,
of course. I think he's definitely a bad guy. I just feel like he plays a good bad guy vibe or whatever. As to a character we've seen before, I'm thinking it's becoming less and less a possibility. Okay. I just think they're going to do an original character. I feel like he's going to have a Tarkin-esque vibe to it, just in the First Order, which I wouldn't mind. Tarkin's cool. But I don't think he's going to be a character we've seen before.
Let's just be clear. You're not saying he's Tarkin. We know that. You're just saying that's that style of a character.
Right, exactly.
Okay. What about you, BB Nate?
Didn't I already answer?
No. Oh, if he was going to be a character that we've heard of before, do you think it has to be Thrawn, or do you think it would be somebody else?
Oh, I think it could be... I mean, I would like it to be Thrawn, but I think that they could... I think that they should do another character. I feel like people are so attached with the Thrawn that we have in Rebels, like Sammy said, the voice and that type of stuff. Nobody can do that. So everybody is attached with that who knows Thrawn, at least. So I feel like they just should go with an original character, or maybe another character that we've heard of and is somebody pivotal, but we just that's the only person we can think of.
Although we don't know if this guy, like, if he can do a Thrawn voice, though. Like, no, he may be able to do a great Thrawn voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Okay. Next topic, hot take. Inverse.com. We're going to come back to them in a minute, too, because they just put out another article we're going to talk about later. Inverse.com. If the Star Wars 9 title was in The Last Jedi, it's definitely one of these.
Oh, I've heard about this.
You talked about this a little bit last week.
Well, okay, so they're saying specifically that Mark Hamill, by the way. Mark Hamill has said that the title to Episode 9 is buried in the dialogue of The Last Jedi.
That narrows it down.
Which is like 2.5 hours, the longest Star Wars movie ever. Okay, so people have been going through The Last Jedi and trying to come up with some names. So you guys ready for these?
Sure.
All right. Star Wars, The Rebellion Reborn. Now, that was actually a serious one.
That one's actually pretty good.
Some people have thought that's actually a really decent one. Okay. They go downhill from here.
All right. I would hope.
Okay.
Yeah. I only want the best.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You and me both, hon. Okay. Filthy Junk Traders. Star Wars, Filthy Junk Traders.
Please tell me one of these is Star Wars Lippity-bop.
The next one on the list is Star Wars Episode 9, Blip Bloppity Bloop.
Yes. All right.
You got to pick out which one you like the best. This is not going to go the way you think. Right, so we can... Hold on. Do I have that? I deleted that.
Dad, do the voice. Dad, do it. The sound effect.
Which one?
You say it.
I don't say this is not going to go the way you think. I don't do that one.
Do it. Well, you should just try.
I am not Mark Hamill. I'm
sorry. I know you're not
Mark Hamill. All right, here's that one. Doing talking.
Doing talking.
She's not, you know, Rose saying she's not good at doing talking.
Oh.
Yeah. Where'd the crystal critters go?
Oh, I like that one.
You know, Star Wars Episode 9. Where did the crystal critters go?
Okay.
How about okay, I'll hold? You know, at the beginning?
Yeah,
the
I know beginning? What you're talking
okay,
about.
I'll hold. All right. And Star Wars Episode 9, more! You know?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You guys are, like, not helping here, okay? These are good. How about Star Wars Episode 9, earth-shattering silence after Admiral Holdo drives on the First Order's face? That one I like. Star Wars Episode 9, The Sacred Texts.
That was a somewhat serious one.
Okay. Star Wars Episode 9, General Hugs. Yeah, that was
that's good.
Star Wars Episode 9, Permission to Jump in a Ship and Blow Something Up.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Star
Wars Episode 9, You're Demoted. How about this one? I thought this was kind of funny. Star Wars Episode 9, You Can't Park That Shuttle Here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Could they get all the parking tickets?
Right. Star Wars Episode 9, Milk Chugging Noises. And suddenly there's fanboys all over the Twitter being triggered. As
I know, our view rate just like our plummeted. Rate, yeah.
Star Wars Episode 9, Benicio Del Toro mumbles something indecipherable. Star Wars Episode 9, take that ridiculous thing off. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that want Kylo to not have his mask on that are going to be yelling that in the audience. And then my favorite, and I can't believe I deleted our Turbis thing on accident.
You're fired.
I know. Yeah, Star Wars Episode 9, Pork Squawk.
Pork Squawk. Yeah,
okay, that's all right, that segment sucked. All right.
That was amazing. That was fun.
All right, the third hot take, GameSpot.com. Here, this one's good. You guys saw this one, so I'm just going to get your reactions now. John Boyega teases something visually crazy. So he went out on Twitter, I think it was Wednesday night, and he put this picture of his hands, one on top of each other. They're covered with dirt, and... there's a shadow in the background that's barely decipherable. And this is what the caption of this photo on Minstagram was. You guys remember seeing this?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Minstagram? That's if you want a minty fresh taste of Instagram. All right.
It's like Instagram.
It's a refreshing version. All right. Great working day on set. The whole team pushed themselves today to achieve something visually crazy. I've had many moments of shock on set, but not like today, and I can't wait until you know why. And then he hashtagged it, FN2187. What do you guys think about that visual and the photo and what he says about that? We'll start with you, Samuel. Come on.
There's some pretty visually crazy stuff in The Last Jedi.
That's true.
Although I would say the most visually crazy thing in The Last Jedi was the throne room scene, and Finn wasn't in that. But I have a feeling we're going to see a... really awesome, really intense, crazy big battle scene at the end. And I think that that's what he's referring to, and I'm really pumped now.
Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know. There's so many different things that could go on, and this is just... I feel like he put this out just to kind of get people stirring and keeping the theories going. I don't know, maybe, like, Rey is, like, for some reason, like, in a bunch of dirt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. It's going to be more than you need. But did you guys notice, you know, when you see it on a phone, on Instagram, you don't notice some of the details. But I saw this on my laptop. I had a bigger blown-up version of the picture. Mm-hmm. And did you guys notice there was blood on his hands?
Yes.
I just thought there was dirt.
No, huh? There's blood on his bottom hand, there on the thumb. There's blood there. So, I mean, it's just interesting because when I first see blood on Finn's hands, I immediately go back to the very first moment we see Finn in Episode 7 with the guy with the blood on his hands touching his face.
His helmet.
His helmet, yeah, and smearing the blood on there. So it just feels like it's like tying into that same type of thing, especially when he says FN2187 as a hashtag.
Yeah.
All that. Why does he keep referencing to this? What do you guys think about the fact that Finn is going to be part of leading a revolt of some of these stormtroopers that were in the same scenario as him, snatched from their families, raised as part of the First Order? This is a major storyline in the sequel trilogy, in the novels, in Hux's background. His father was the one that was the one that led this program and that kind of thing. Do you think that Finn is going to lead a revolution of stormtroopers from the First Order? What do you guys think?
I would hope so. That would be
really cool. It goes back to exactly what Rose said in The Last Jedi, which everyone hates the line, but it makes
sense. No, I don't hate the line. I think it's one of the best lines in Star Wars history.
So. This is how we win, not by killing what we hate, but by saving what we love. And he's trying to just help the stormtroopers. I saw this meme the other day on Facebook, and it had the line. It had Rose and her saying the line, and then it had Luke saying "screw that," and then he blows up the Death Star, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's not like he saved his father at the end because of his love for him. I mean, it's a prevalent theme throughout all of Star Wars. I would love to see Finn save the stormtroopers because he feels for them.
Yeah, and he knows to them. That's who he is.
He knows that there's a better life that they can be a part of. Although there's going to be a lot of Finns, though.
Like you're saying, it's going through all the whole series. You see, Obi-Wan could have killed Anakin and he was ordered to by a Yoda, but he didn't out of love. He didn't kill what he hated. He saved what he loved.
Yeah. So bringing that theme into this. Plus, you guys recall from The Last Jedi the deleted scenes when they're on the Snoke's Dreadnought or Snoke's ship, and they get stuck in the elevator with the other stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
And the stormtrooper's like FN-287, and he's like getting ready to shoot him. Like, remember?
Yeah, Finn was.
Yeah, Finn was. And he's like freaking out. They're gonna reveal who I am, and they know I'm, you know, I've revolted and all this. And he's like, I never would have paid you for officer material. And they start laughing and joking a little bit and stuff like that.
It's, and he smacks Finn on the butt. It's like they were
planning on trying to insert in there that Finn is still, he knows people in the First Order. He's got friends in the First Order. And they're trying to show that that's a friend of his from the past.
I mean, the stormtrooper, like, smacks him on the butt, like, attaboy or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I think that we're going to see that in there. I think that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would,
I know. Just, I don't know, 11 months to wait. All right. But we get to get a trailer in just a few weeks.
And we get Celebration.
And Celebration is what I mean.
No.
I'm almost certain we're getting the trailer at Celebration.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
Okay, is there anything else we want to talk about today?
Anything else?
Yeah, EA canceled their open world Star Wars game.
Well, okay.
That sucks. I'm not happy about that at all.
It's not particularly true. EA decided to address the situation, and they said it was only half dead. They're kind of delayed it. They're trying to figure out more stuff about it. I think they're really focusing on Jedi Fallen Order. Right now.
So they're just not working on it.
Yes, they're just not working on it.
No, I think that from what I read, they're not only not working on it, what they've just already started working on with it, they're scrapping. And if they do it, they're going to start all over again. So.
And the Alphabet Squadron novel will be a crossover series with Marvel's Star Wars TIE Fighter. Seriously.
Yeah, I think this is really cool because you got the novel stuff from Alphabet Squadron. You're going to get the Republic or the Rebellion. I'm not sure. I guess it's Republic. I think it's Republic era.
Yeah,
New Republic era. You got them, being featured in the novel, and then you've got the comic version from the Imperial perspective taking place in the comics, crossing over like that. You're going to see both sides of that. So
yeah,
I think
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't get a whole lot of looks from the Imperial side.
So you don't.
Because they're the bad guys and nobody really cares.
No.
All right. So, well, I mean, you shouldn't. It's like, well, let's get the Nazi perspective on World War II. All right. Sorry.
When you put it that way.
I have a strong opinion on that. But anyway, okay. Our first look at The Mandalorian could come on April 11th. So the way that this works is Disney has announced that their shareholders are going to get a sneak peek look at some footage from the Disney Plus streaming service on April 11th, which interestingly enough is the same day of the start of Star Wars Celebration.
And I am pumped for Star Wars Celebration. Here's what I think is going to happen.
They're going to get like clips of it through the shareholders meeting, and then we're going to get a full panel of Mandalorian. We're going to get a full panel of Clone Wars Season 7, and they're going to show the first episodes to us on that. So,
you think they're going to show the first episode?
I absolutely believe that they're going to show the first episode.
Yes, same here for both Clone Wars and Mandalorian. And second season of Resistance.
We've got to make it to that panel.
We're going to make it to all three of those TV show panels. Those are like the most like.
Yeah, I'm totally pumped. Totally pumped.
All right. Hopefully they didn't sell as many tickets this time, so it's not as hard to get into.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be bigger. I know people that actually have done work in those rooms. You know Miss Erlene?
Mm-hmm.
She's been to stuff at McCormick. She says it's like largest convention center in the United States. So it's going to be awesome.
That's
and other
good.
People have said that too. So, okay. This week's podcast poll of the week, we're just going to stay on topic here. Do you want to see Tatooine in episode 9? Yes, no, undecided, or other comment below. So we'll see what you guys think about that. Follow us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. Follow us on Instagram at Tatooine Sons. Follow us on YouTube at Tatooine Sons. Follow us on Facebook, Tatooine Sons.
Instagram.
TatooineSons.com. I already said Instagram. Patreon.com. Please support us on Patreon. The YouTube thing though, I'm going to stop there. Please take a few seconds to head on over to YouTube, subscribe to our channel, like those three videos that are on our Star Wars Star Wars Rebels Revisited. Gosh, I'm tired. Star Wars Rebels Revisited playlist, and like each one of those videos and share them.
Can you do the Bebo?
Bebo.
There you go.
So, anyway.
Bebo.
So anyway, all right. I guess on that note, we should probably move on. Is there anything else you guys want to share?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.